Welcome to the Watermark Church Podcast. Today we'll be starting the new series, Blessed, Week 1. Remember your blessings. Let's listen in with Pastor Jarvis Glanzer.
We are blessed so much. There's so much to be thankful for. And as I'm preparing for this message, there's a few things I was just thinking. It's funny, in our normal day, this is what happens. I do a lot of counseling with people, and people are always telling me, well, I just feel like Lord's just not showing up. And it's kind of my job, if I know them really, really good, to remind them how good the Lord has showed up in their life over the past few years, saying, so you're questioning the Lord's faithfulness, but I can show you where the Lord's been faithful. And so kind of today is realizing that we are blessed. So for instance, did you know, I'm just going to share you a few facts about your own body, okay? Nose hair. Love it. We all got it. Some of your wives are already hitting your husband saying he's going to talk about how long your nose hair. You got to trim it up, right? Isn't it irony, the older you get, like your hair starts coming out of your ears and your nose, and it just, you know, that's why some people just grow beards. So it just blends it anyway, just right? It just keeps on coming. But it's interesting about nose hair is this, is so often we can get old and get frustrated about, look at all these nose hairs. The hair in your nose is one of the body's first lines of defense against harmful environmental pathogens such as germs, fungus, and spores. Another purpose for the nose hair is to provide additional humidity to the inhaled air. As the air passes through the nasal passages, the mucus and the hair provide heat and moisture. When was the last time you thanked God for the nose hair in your nose? Think about that. It's your first line of defense, and it helps keep you from breathing well. And most of you are thinking, you need to shave your nose hairs, and I'm saying, thank God for your nose hairs. Running nose. People are already going like this, right? There was a joke I had when I was a little kid. You guys want to hear it? This is the dumbest joke you ever hear. What's green and goes 500 miles an hour? Isn't that gross? Jeff, you liked it, right? Here's the thing about runny nose is this. When we catch a cold, the virus stimulates membranes in the nose to produce clear mucus. When this mucus streams out of the nostrils or is propelled by a forceful blow, it carries germs from the nose and the sinuses. So we might be thinking, oh, look at this, nasty. When I see my kids, anybody have to have kids under 5 or whatever, maybe you have teenagers still do this, I can tell when my kids are sick because they're just snot all over because they're constantly doing this, right? All the time. And so it's interesting because when was the last time you thanked the Lord for your runny nose? Sneezing. A function of sneezing is to expel mucus containing irritants out of your nasal cavity and out of your mouth. And we were thinking, when was the last time, and this, we say God bless you, but when was the last time, think about this, hey, have you ever woke up in the morning saying, God, I just want to say thank you for this beautiful day, it's great weather, I want to say thank you for my nose hairs and my runny nose, and I want to say thank you for that sneeze. Thank you, Lord. Nobody does this. But it's interesting because all these things seem like irritations to us, but yet they're there. For instance, body sweat. When the body gets too hot, the nervous system will stimulate the glands of your skin to start producing this fluid called sweat, which is used to cool the body and to bring the temperature down. Thank the Lord for body sweat, and thank the Lord for deodorant. Amen? But God produces these things, and God has these things. For instance, transportation. When you get mad about the speed limits, the potholes, the traffic, and all the construction, when was the last time you thanked God for the roads, construction, potholes? And why do you ask? Because it was just short of 100 so years ago, or a couple hundred years, that wagons went across the country. If you don't know this, have you ever played the game called Oregon Trail? Right? You literally would take your family, and if you didn't die of dysentery, your family would make it across. By the way, the best part of that game is just shooting those little raccoons, right? That was awesome, just moving around and shooting. But honestly, here's the deal. Think about this. You had to pass, load all your family into a wagon. If the wagon broke down, what do you do? If the horse died, what do you do? Think about this. If you were going to take a family trip today, the worst could happen is, you know, say you pop a tire, something would happen. There, listen, if your wagon falls apart, welcome home. In the middle of Iowa. That's how people end up living in Iowa. Right? Nobody chooses to live there. Wagons ended up there. That's how it happened. And so here's what happens with us is literally these things begin to happen and we start wondering like what am I thinking? There's a, you know what I'm saying? Even think about, we wait in lines for things. We're like, oh, this is never gonna end. We live in such a junky, pessimistic people. When we go someplace and our cell phone battery dies, or we drop a cell phone, are you kidding me? My dad, when he first got a cell phone, here's how his generation works. He could not work his cell phone. You know why? Because all he was asking questions about was not how to work it, but how it works. He's like, there's no cords. There's nothing. Like, how does this work? And I'm like, listen, my generation, I don't care how it works. I just want this thing to work. Right? And that's the difference. And what's interesting, though, we, like my generation younger, we get all bent out of shape if something, like, we're like, dude, this is a miracle that you can talk to somebody. Listen, when I was in high school, if I wanted to call somebody two towns away, it was a long-distance phone call. I wouldn't need to get permission from my parents 2 weeks ahead of time. Right? You guys remember those old phones, those rotary phones? Like, you would, like, it was literally based on electricity current. Like, you would start with, you know what I'm saying, one, and then you would just go back, and you hated people who had zeros in their phone numbers because it was all, and like, think about that. Like, you would, and then your older sister who would talk to boys would have that long cord, and she'd be talking in the hallway, and she'd get wrapped up in a phone cord. Like, it's crazy to think about where we're at. But here's what I'm saying. The reason I say all this is because I think so many times we use things every single day and that we are not even thankful for, we actually get upset about. So what my series is called Blessed, but really it's characteristics of blessed people. People who are blessed, when you know, there are just certain people you love to be around because one, they were blessed to be around, and two, you just know, blessings just come their way, and you're like, how is this person so blessed? And listen, I'm telling you, there's a few characteristics, and I'm just gonna share one each week. So today is this, just the big point, number one, blessed people remember their blessings. Blessed people remember their blessings. You may not be, now listen, I want to preface this by saying this. You may not be more blessed than the person sitting next to you, but you can feel more blessed because you remember your blessings. It's so easy. Now listen, a few weeks ago I said comparison kills compassion. Because it's so easy to look at your yard and your fence and your dog poop in your yard and look at the neighbors and say, they just have it all together. What happens is when you start comparing, you stop being thankful for what you got. When you see the car in front of you and you're realizing, well, that's really nice paint. They don't have no rust on their car. And you start thinking of all the things they have. They have GPS. They have all this stuff. And you start looking at your car and you're like, my kids have French fries all over the ground in here, and you know what I'm saying? There's this and this, and you know what I'm saying? There's hunting stuff everywhere, and there's blood on the ground. How did blood get in my car? You know what I'm saying? You start thinking these things, and you're saying, well, that person has something nicer than I have, and what begins to happen, you're no longer thankful for your car because you compare to something else. Because you look at something you don't have, and you stop being thankful with what you have. Listen, when you stop being thankful for what you have and start recognizing what somebody else has, you stop valuing what you have. For instance, go back to the car analogy. If you are praying for the Lord for a car, anything, I just want this thing to work. I just want to give him a point A, point, just a heater. If we're in Minnesota, I need a heater. And God bless you with a car that has a heater. It goes, you can put gas in it. It drives for about 20 miles. It works for you. And all of a sudden, you start comparing it to somebody else. You start devaluing your car, and you don't treat it as good because you look at somebody else and you're saying it's not as good as that person's. And this is what I'm going to go into the story. And here's how we're going to, the story we're going to talk about today is this. In Genesis, and I'm not going to read this whole thing, but in Genesis, Adam and Eve. And here's how it worked. God said he created man, Adam, in the garden. And the garden, listen, the garden was perfect. Perfect. And says God made the night and the day, God made the sea, God made the creatures, and then God created man, and then God created a woman. And people say all the time, well, guys were first and girls were second. And I will tell you, God was still trying to figure out, and he just made girls because he kind of figured it out, right? And so what's interesting about it, that doesn't matter. What matters is this, that God made Adam, and then God made Eve to be together and to be in charge of this paradise. And what's irony about this is it was paradise. I mean, you talk about creatures, they were naming creatures. You could ride a lion, all this stuff was happening. And then he said this. It even says in Scripture that God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. Now, I'm not saying, people say, do you really take the Bible literally? Yeah, I believe the Bible, so I take it literally. So that means God came down from heaven and walked and talked with Adam and Eve in a garden. So imagine, not just paradise itself, but this is all Adam and Eve ever known, and it was paradise, and they got to walk with the Lord. And here's what the God said to him. He says, I give you one rule. One. See that tree over there? Don't eat of it. Now, this is an irony about it. It's not like it was the only fruit tree in the whole garden. I'm sure there was thousands of other trees with fruit on them. But he just said, you can eat whatever you want to. This is organic central right here. It's all natural, all yours. But just don't eat of this one. You can eat the papaya. You can eat the oranges. You can eat the bananas. You can eat it. Look, there's even coffee ground nuts over here. You can have that too. But just don't eat of this one. And that's the only rule. Now listen, a lot of people think that Christianity is literally based upon rules. Well, God just sits up there, and God loves the rules. God is a God of rules. And I'm telling you, if that's true, then why is it that he gave them pretty much complete freedom, except for saying, one tree, don't eat of it? But if you're like me, don't you just want what you can't have? Because so many people are saying, well, that's pretty dumb. And all of a sudden they get closer and closer to this tree. Proximity is a bad thing. And they keep on looking at the tree and wondering why we can't partake of this tree. And they keep on wondering what's so bad about this. The fruit looks good. And everybody knows the story about the serpent snake that was in there, that it was trying to tempt them. And all of a sudden Eve gave in, and then Adam gave in. And it says this. I want to let you know this in Scripture. It says, they each took one bite. It says they didn't even eat the whole thing. They didn't even eat the whole fruit. They took one bite, and as soon as they disobeyed, because I'm telling you this, it wasn't that the fruit was necessarily bad. It was the disobedience that was bad. And as soon as they took one bite, they realized their nakedness. They realized the guilt and the shame, and it says they hid in the bushes so the Lord couldn't find them. Now, this is a crazy thing about temptation. Number one is this. They were getting closer and closer to something they shouldn't have. And every time they got closer, it was harder to say no to it. And the other thing is this. You want to know what my mentor told me a long time ago is this. They had one bite of an apple, or whatever the fruit that was, they had one bite, and they could have had paradise over here. Can you imagine if I come to you right now and say, hey, Josh, here's an option. You can have the garden. You can have your beautiful bride. You can have all this paradise. Or you can have this. Not even the whole thing. Just a bite. And but if you have a bite, you're going to lose all this. Who would ever choose that? And yet, this is what sin does to us, is because One of my mentors told me that this is what his quote was: every time when you look at temptation, don't consider what you could gain, but what you could lose. So here's what Adam and Eve did. They chose something. They were blessed with all this, but because they couldn't have the small thing, they chose to say, I'm going to forget about my blessing and go to something that's cursed. And if this hurts me, I'm going to ask, why are you not blessing us anymore? God, why are you not showing up? Why is this happening? Why is this no longer working? And then you start blaming God, and you start saying, God, why did you even plant that tree there in the first place? God, why did you ever do this? God, why did you bring me to this point? Without saying, God, you created this garden for me. You created all this for me. Instead, we get to start saying, instead of saying, giving God credit for what he's created, we give God blame for our mistakes. So what's interesting about this is we go in a whole thing about saying, I'm blessed, because just like Adam and Eve, here's where it goes, just like Adam and Eve, we could have it all, but not much. Listen, what's interesting about this is not much more painful than losing a blessing. Something about losing a blessing is just so painful. When they realize they're going to lose it, it's painful. Instead of focusing on the blessing, they focus on what they couldn't have. They thought, they always knew this blessing that was in front of them, but they never really knew it was a blessing because they were born into a blessing. So what began to happen is a simple word we like to call entitlement. Because you were born into it, or because this is the way it is, you become so used to it that you're saying, oh, this is just natural, and because I deserve this, and this is what's happening. So, like, what if I go my friend Dar, everybody's had a Dar. Dar's here. Like, there's Dar. What if Dar is at home tomorrow at 5 o'clock, and all of a sudden there's a knock at the door, Dar goes to answer it, and it's this guy, and he says, hi, you don't know who I am, but I'm here, and here's $100. And Dar's like, what for? Just because. And Dar's like, dude, that's awesome. And all of a sudden they shut the door, and next day, same time, Dar gets up, goes to the door, and he goes, same guy. He goes, here's $100. Dar's like, what is this for? You just did this yesterday, just because. Day three, same time. Dar gets up, and he's like, and now his ears are starting to perk up a little bit. Same time of day, he's like, Mary's the same guy, $100. So $300 in 3 days, and all he did was answer the door. All of a sudden, $400. At $400, they start thinking, dude, we got to do a family trip. Right? We got to do something. We got to put money into something. Day five, you're like, $500 in 5 days and all I've been doing. And all of a sudden, you start planning your whole schedule around it. And she, your wife, and you're saying, let's go out. I can't go out. 5 o'clock, I might get $100. And all of a sudden, every day, knock at the door. It was $100. And here's what you begin to doing. Listen, I wanted this boat. Dude, after week, 2 weeks, you have $1,400. And you're going, $1,400? Dude, I can make $3,000 in a month, and I'm not doing anything besides answering the door. I don't even need to work anymore. Let's get that boat. Let's go on vacation. And all of a sudden, he's waiting every single day for $100. Next month rolls around. Whatever, day 32, day 31, knock at the door. Dar gets up, smiles, even knows the guy's name now. All of a sudden, next day, he waits. No knock. Waits for another 20 minutes. No knock. And every minute that passes, I'm not saying you would do this, I'm just saying every minute that passes, his blood starts boiling. And he starts thinking, maybe he's sick. Maybe something happened. Guy never shows up. Next day, sits there. No knock at the door. And at this time, I'm going, is he sick? Should I go figure it out? And all of a sudden, you start getting mad and start getting mad. And you're saying, listen, this guy came, $100, and where is he at now? And all of a sudden, your blood gets boiling. You get mad, and this is what you start saying. Where's this guy with my $100 that I deserve to have? Because what begins to happen is a thing called entitlement. Just because it's always happened doesn't mean you deserve it. For instance, instead of getting mad, We should be thankful we just got 30 days of $100 or $3,000 for not doing nothing besides answering the door and not get mad it doesn't keep on happening anymore. But here's the slippery slope what begins to happen to us is that we begin to think whatever you have, something that is essentially a privilege for too long, it begin to feel like something is entitled to you. We start begin to pray, praying for instance, we prayed for our house. My wife and I prayed for a house, that God would give us a house. And now we're in our house, and we're like, start thinking, we need to do this, and we need to do this. And listen, it's good to restore a house. It's good to fix it up. But just as much as we need to fix it up, I need to be thankful because the Lord has answered our prayers and given us a house. What's interesting about this is not something that I think what happens is so hard to be thankful because we feel entitled. Dave Ramsey has this quote that says, entitlement begins where thanksgiving ends. Entitlement begins where thanksgiving ends. I was going to pull that off, but my microphone's going to fly off with me, so I won't do it. Next thing is this, entrusted or entitled. We need to stop feeling entitled, and here is the shift in our mindset, and start realizing that we are entrusted. If you are a child of the Father, you are not entitled, you are entrusted, which means it has been given to you. That means it's yours to use. Entrustment also means to be a steward, which is to charge or invest with trust or responsibility, to charge with a specified office of duty involving a trust, to commit to confide in, to care for, to take care of something. All that we have received comes from the Lord, and it is entrusted to us. Your kids are entrusted to you. They are not yours. They are, of course, yours, but they are entrusted from the Lord to you. The finances are entrusted to you. Where you work is entrusted. We don't own anything. We are entrusted with it. You are not entitled to a spouse. You are blessed to have one. You are not entitled to a job. You are provided one. You are not entitled to healing, forgiveness, and salvation. You are given this. It's not something that you do because you deserve it. We don't deserve it. That's why it's called grace. What's interesting is we must decide that we are not going to take anyone or anything for granted. And the way we beat entitlement is with one big word called gratitude. And this is how we beat it. You may be thinking, listen, you might have been raised in the wrong side of the tracks where you were raised with nothing. And this word entitlement drives you nuts because you're the type of person that says, I've had to work for everything I've ever received. I've been working since I was a little kid and I've been providing for my family. Whatever I get is mine. Listen, when you have the mentality that it's yours, you still feel like you're entitled and not that you're entrusted because your gifts and talents and even your work ethic is a gift from the Lord. Maybe you were raised on the right side of tracks and everything you've been given in your life, you've just been handed to you and you have no work ethic. You are entitled. And what I'm saying is, as Christians, we don't need to walk around entitled. The reason that we worship is not because we deserve it. We worship because He deserves it. We don't serve and bless others because we deserve to be blessed. We do this because He deserves to be blessed and to be honored and to be lifted up. This is where gratitude comes in. Worship is just us expressing our gratitude towards the Lord. When these guys come this morning and lead us in worship, we are saying, as brothers and sisters and as a family together, we're saying, God, you are good, you are worth it, I bow down, I worship you, not because of who I am, but because of who you are, because you deserve it, not me. This is why we worship, and this is why we bless. This is why we give, because people in mentality saying, I'm not going to forget about a blessing because every time I remember a blessing the Lord has given, it drives me to my knees to say, thank you, Lord, for what you have given me because I don't deserve it. It's interesting mentality because we so often think of gratitude as saying, really? But grace is this. Grace is actually from the word gratitude, and it says, I don't get what I deserve. Now listen, the world is trying to tell you, I'm going to get what I deserve. I work for it, I'm going to get it. unless they're in trouble, because I don't want to get what I deserve. Right? But most of the time you're saying, and where God says this, he says, grace is saying, I'm a sinner, I have made mistakes, I am not good enough. Listen, I want you to hear this. Even though I'm a pastor, I am not good enough to save myself. We are born in sin. We are born weak. We are born vulnerable. We are born into this world. And I am not good enough, and I can't preach good enough. I can't help people good enough to save myself. And it's by grace alone by which I stand. Gratitude comes from grace. Listen, there is nothing more annoying as a parent than when my wife and I get so upset with our kids. They get in more trouble when they're not have gratitude. It drives us nuts. When they're not telling people thank you and saying, these things, I'm like, dude, be polite. I did a series like this a few years ago, and this is a phrase I use. I'm going to use this every single week. Here's what it is. If you're going to have an attitude, make sure it's. If you're going to have an attitude, make sure it's gratitude. Because it is easy and it's fun to be around people who are gracious and also people who have a lot of gratitude and who are thankful. It's hard to be around people who feel like they deserve everything. It's interesting because this is just the way we are raised. Entitlement is the enemy of genuine thankfulness and appreciation. Thankfulness says everything is a blessing. So we need to focus. I'm going to end with this today. We need to focus on what God has done. If you have your little post-it notes, if you can take that out. If you don't have one, some people might help grab some out, but they're by the usher table back there. Here's what I want us to think about. This is a big deal to me because I think this is what's interesting. I've been meeting with certain people the last few months and different spouses and married couples and just young people, and they're always talking about, I just don't feel like the Lord is showing up. I just don't feel like the Lord is providing. I just don't think the Lord is doing this. You know what I always tell people if I know them really well? I start listing off the ways that the Lord has shown up in their life in the past year, 2 years, few months. Because I said, it's so easy for you to say, well, where's the Lord? And I'm going, listen, he's already shown up in your life. It's interesting because my mentor, Calvin Olson, every single day, he had a thing called the prayer journal. Little black books he would open up. And when somebody had a prayer request, he would literally write in his prayer journal, every single entry and everything he was praying for that day. And then what would happen is, when God would answer a prayer, he would go back into his prayer journal and write down how God has answered that prayer in that person's life. And one day I asked him, I said, why do you do this? When he passed away, he had a whole library every single year of prayer journals. And he says, because every year I'm alive and I look at that shelf, I realize how God has performed miracles, not just in my life, but in all these people's lives through all the years. And if you ever start questioning the Lord, you can just say, you open it up and you say, look at this one, look at this one, look at this one, look at this. Look how God provided for this. Look how God provided for this. Look how God provided for this. When I look at my own life, I start thinking about things like this. We forget about the easy things, how God answers these prayers. But remember your blessings. Remember how you try to get a loan for your car or for your house, and you were praying for it to come to pass, and listen, it happened. Remember how you wanted to get into a better relationship with your own kids. Maybe you're praying for your prodigals to come home, and maybe you're praying for a healthy relationship with your grandkids, and it came to pass. Maybe you were praying for a better relationship with your spouse. Maybe your company was going under. Maybe in your own entire life, there was people coming against you. Maybe you're praying for a job. Remember how you were looking for a place to live, and it came to pass. Remember how you were trying to get pregnant. It came to pass. Remember how you wanted to help with your final exam in college and high school, and you're saying, God, if you just show up, even though I didn't study, and listen, you passed. You're still alive today. Remember how you your friends backstabbed you and you're praying for healthier friends and you're surrounded by people today. If you're taking notes, I just want you to write this down. It says, never let the things you want make you forget about the things that you have. Never let the things you want make you forget about the things you have. There's an old hymnal that used to go like this. Count your blessings and name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you all that the Lord has done. Count your many blessings. Because if you don't count your blessings, then your blessings won't count. Listen, there's still blessings. You just don't remember them. My wife and I remember in college praying that I would marry and find a lady that I could woo who would have my heart, who would be a strong spiritual woman that could lead our family with our kids and love our family. Answer to prayer. I remember moving down here and we built our dream house in Brainerd and we were having to sell it. And there was hardly anybody looking at it. And we were just fasting and praying for God to give us some money so we can put into a new house. And God provided within weeks. I remember trying to, listen, I remember before we had our first kid, getting pregnant wasn't easy. We went through some difficult times with our first kid. And I won't ever forget coming home and just having a hard time saying, why can't we get pregnant? And my wife had a dad's book, and she opened it up, and she says, you're going to be a daddy. And that's Sawyer. I won't ever forget moving here, living out of a U-Haul, living in Jill's upstairs room, and living in my parents' basement, and just hoping someday we just want to buy a house in the Stillwater area. We just want to make home here. I'm going there today, walking in my front door. I won't ever forget about just saying, we don't know one person that lives in Stillwater. We're going to plant a church and we don't know one person that lives in Stillwater. And look at all the friends we have. I think it's just amazing how many times that we have prayed for things and we forget about. So here's my question for you. Get your mindset out of the Adam and Eve mindset. And it's so easy to focus on what you don't have that we forget about what we do have.
Thanks for listening. Join us next week as we continue the sermon series, Blessed.